Welcome to Bob's Last Marathon, where Lena Chow Kuhar shares her firsthand experiences and practical wisdom gained from caring for her husband, Bob, on their long, unmapped journey with Alzheimer's disease. Through her own insights, as well as those of other caregivers, advocates, and experts, Lena hopes to help you meet the challenges of Alzheimer's disease and give your loved ones the best quality of life possible. Today, we're pleased to feature Alexandra Morris. Alex is a gerontologist and geriatric care manager with 30 years' experience helping families to cope with dementia and aging in many settings: home care, assisted living, and adult daycare, as well as camps for brain-injured adults. She has also provided professional education for the Alzheimer's Association. In this episode, Alex talks about how connecting with your loved one's emotional truths, sometimes over the facts, can be a kind and compassionate way of managing daily life challenges. Listen as Alex shares insights and advice for interacting with our loved ones.
Hi, I'm Alex Morris, and over decades of experience as an Alzheimer's care coach, I've seen that caregivers can have a difficult time keeping up with their loved ones' changes. It requires a change in the way we approach our loved ones, as well as a new set of skills rooted in kindness and compassion that I'd like to share with you today. Not long ago, I spoke with a client named Mary, whose sister had moderate stage Alzheimer's and had just moved to an assisted living facility. At each visit, Carol would ask about her house and her things. She was a longtime collector, and her house was packed with beloved objects. Mary told her the truth. The house was being sold to pay for her care, and her possessions were being given away or sold. Carol reacted with great anxiety, and the visits and calls would end badly, with Carol's distress and confusion sometimes lasting for days. While at one time the sisters were able to have honest conversations, the person Mary had known most of her life was now different. It wasn't Carol's fault. It was her illness. Carol had changed, but Mary's way of communicating with her had not. Clearly, it didn't work for Mary to treat Carol the same way she always had. If telling Carol the truth caused so much pain, then what could be done to ease it? My answer is, first and foremost, be kind. If we can be truthful without being unkind, great. But if we can't tell the truth without causing pain, we should choose kindness. Being kind to Carol meant telling her what she needed to hear, that the house was fine and her things were untouched. In short, to lie. But Mary would not lie. The sisters had made a pact long ago never to lie to each other, and she felt she should never break it. However, things had changed. Today's harsh reality was that telling her sister the truth caused Carol great distress. Mary was hanging on to an outdated idea of Carol. In the end, Mary was serving herself, not helping Carol. It took Mary a while, but changing her approach helped relieve her sister's distress and improve their relationship. Let me say again, if you can't be both truthful and kind, please choose kindness. Don't use the word lie in your head, but instead think, what answer can I give right now that will help this person? What is the kind thing to do? There may be a reason that prioritizing kindness over facts can be so effective. With dementia, the cognitive function may decline, but emotional memory often remains very much intact. Even when people with dementia can't remember the content of a conversation, or the conversation at all, they will remember how you made them feel. Susan had moderate dementia, and her sister told her that a beloved brother was very ill and might die soon. When I arrived for my visit, Susan was crying and wailing over and over, "The man is sick. The man is dying." I didn't know who the man was, but clearly the narrative had to change quickly. I took her hands and looked into her eyes and said calmly, "Good news. The man is better." She said, "How do you know?" And I replied, "I spoke with your family, so please don't worry, as everything is better now." Then I added, "You are all right. Let's celebrate with some Baskin-Robbins ice cream." Susan's situation is a good example of a few skills I put into practice. First, as I mentioned earlier, when you can't be truthful, be kind. Susan could not process her brother's illness, and it caused her enormous distress. I chose to be kind and say that he was better. Second, folks with dementia tend to respond to emotional content. She was anguished because of her strong emotional connection with her brother, which is also why being kind, an emotional strategy, was effective. Third, be reassuring and move quickly onto something pleasant. I told Susan, "You are all right." I ended with an offer of ice cream because I knew she loved Baskin-Robbins. You can change the tone of the conversation from distress to celebration. Finally, remember to keep your words short. Literally count them. More than 10 words at a time usually is counterproductive. "Good news, the man is better," 6 words. "You're all right," 3 words. Words of explanation should be short, but words of love, praise, reassurance, joking, and kindness can overflow. It's not always easy to reroute a conversation. Your strategy should always come back to, what will he or she respond to? What will make emotional sense to my loved one? Here's a common example. It's no longer safe for your dad to drive, but he thinks he's just fine. You have to break the news that he can't. Because driving is important to people, this conflict is likely to come up repeatedly. One option is to try to deliver the truth in a kind way. "Dad, I'm so sorry, but you can't drive anymore. The DMV took away your license." It may work. If it results in anger, even an argument, you know the next time you should have a few different approaches ready. In this situation, I ask the caregiver, "What does your dad value? Is he the type to help others? Is there a family member who needs a car right now?" The answers were all yes. A beloved grandson had just graduated from college and was in need of a car. So the next time driving came up, the caregiver could emphasize emotional gratification with something like, "Oh, I'm so happy you could give Steve your car. He's thrilled. It was so kind and generous of you, Dad. You're the best." Words of love, praise, reassurance, and kindness overflowing. Hard to believe, but it worked. And it worked every time Dad asked for the car. I want to acknowledge that it's not always easy, but often it's not as hard as we feared if we are willing to be creative and try different approaches, always aiming for the kind response. As with anything you want to be more proficient at, you must practice. Practice with other family members, friends, in front of a mirror. Then you should be ready for the words to come out smoothly and with sincerity. Your words may not always be factually true, but the intentions and sentiments will be sincere. When you speak from the heart, when you choose kindness and connect on an emotional truth, it's your sincere attempt to help your loved one and you live your best possible lives.
Thank you for listening to Bob's Last Marathon. Transcripts of today's show and other episodes and acknowledgments, as well as more information about Alex Morris, can be found at bobsmarathon.com. That's Bob's Marathon without an apostrophe. Send us a note with your comments. Like us on Facebook and Twitter. We wish you and your loved ones good health.